16 minutes past 9 o'clock, and inshallah we'll be introducing Maulana Yusuf Patel, who's currently, or rather Yusuf Pandor, I apologize, is currently teaching in Lenbrough Park, Maulana's Islamic educator at Lenbrough Park, and inshallah on a weekly basis we are looking forward to listen to the advices of Maulana Yusuf Pandor. Firstly, in the studios of Radio Islam, Maulana Yusuf, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Hazrat Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, and you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm also very well. You're looking very nervous this time. Normally, you are very, mashallah, excited and you are very energetic. What seems to be that nervousness in you now?
I don't know, perhaps you forgot to recite that one dua that you've constantly been making for me. And just blowing it my side.
Inshallah, that du'as are always there with you. I normally trouble you a lot, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the khidmat of deen from you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from you also, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Maulana, being the first weekly slot, what would you like to discuss in today's program?
A bit of ikhlas, niyyah, intention, inshallah.
MashaAllah, that's the hadith that normally Sahih Bukhari, and we find other, most of the hadith kitab starts with ikhlas, with sincerity, and following the footsteps of our kabirin and our pious predecessors, we have chose to speak on ikhlas and sincerity. Bismillah, Maulana.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Nahmadu Allah Azza wa Jal wa nusalli ala Sayyidi al-Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Beloved brothers, sisters, listeners of Radio Islam International, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we humbly offer blessings and salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, as well as the illustrious Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless one and all. Beloved listeners, firstly we thank Hazrat Maulana Sahib for the opportunity of which the advisors can be of benefit to each and every one of us for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During this time on Fridays, we will touch on different aspects and add to today's modern world in order to give us a flavor that will be tasty to our iman, and insha'Allah to motivate us in achieving closeness to our Maker. For today, like how we had said, we'd like to begin on intention, and insha'Allah, as the weeks and the months progress, we would choose various topics that would be apt and pertinent to us achieving closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So firstly, in Surah Ali Imran, verse 29, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us,
قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
Let's say to the believers that whatever you conceal within your bosoms or you reveal of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of it. And He knows whatever is in the heavens and whatever lies on the surface of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful and He encompasses everything. So nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous hadith, as Maulana had alluded to, in the opening chapter of Bukhari Sharif, on the authority of Umar radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are based on your intentions. So if your intentions are big, it's great, it's awesome, you want to achieve closeness to Allah, then you will achieve closeness to Allah. On the same note, if a person makes intentions of carrying out wrong activities, wrong deeds, wrong actions, then he will be taken to task via the intentions that he has said to himself that he wants to perpetrate. The way and mode you intend to act upon something, that is how you would achieve the end result. So the poet says, the purpose of life is to remember the Creator and serve Him well. Life without that devotion is nothing but shame. Because as part and parcel of the makeup and life of a Muslim, is that everything a person does is, or a person should realize, that there is a purpose, there is an objective, there is a goal, there is a direction, a way forward that we are trying to aspire. Let us not make the mistake of refueling at a place where it is not safe, and in this instance, it is connected to a place where intentions are done for either than the sake and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So there is a beautiful hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, whoever intends a good and does not get a chance to carry it out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for that individual a full reward. Subhanallah. So we're talking about a person who wakes up in the morning and he has an intention to perhaps read a few pages of the Quran daily. Or a person wakes up and says to himself, today he's going to carry out certain amount of good deeds. Or a woman wakes up in the morning and says to herself that she would like to find herself engaged in those activities which are wholesome and good, and that will rejuvenate and spark that blossoming flower or the seed of Iman within her. And perhaps the day passes, or the week passes, sometimes a month even passes by, and there was a genuine reason for that particular moments of the day and night where a person had set out to do those good deeds, where the individual found no time at all, and there was a genuine reason. So a person felt sad, he felt a bit hurt, there was some pain within the person saying that I had the intention and I didn't carry out, and now I'm feeling a bit down. What should I do? Where should I go to? Who should I speak to? That, you know, I'm not feeling it, that I'm not reading my Quran, I'm not reading my salah on time, or my azkar, or doing certain good activities. But the intention was so pure that in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be recorded, it will be written for the individual, that he or she had recited from the Quran that very same pages that the person's intention was to recite, because of a genuine excuse. What's an excuse? Perhaps there might have been some sickness in the family. He or she, that person was sick, or some close member, or there was a funeral, or there was some tragedy that occurred in the house, where a person found he or herself in such a position that they could not activate that particular good deed for the day. So in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't let the good go to waste of a believer. So because the intention was pure, it was wholesome, it was sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record it on behalf of the individual. Beloved listeners, when you set out in the morning to work, make the intention of wanting to spread the beautiful lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in whichever field you are in, and you will be rewarded. You are going to work, you are in a business field, you are in any environment. If your intention is to spread the deen by your actions, and somebody gets the hidayah, the guidance, you will be rewarded for your intention, and as well as for that individual coming closer to the deen. Similarly, for my beloved mother and sisters, when you are cooking that scrumptious and delicious meals, make the intentions of feeding your family so that they may have strength to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that way as well, one is you'll get the reward for making intention of giving food so that an individual gets strength to worship Allah. Secondly, a reward for you, my mother and sisters that are listening, whatever good any family member does after eating or partaking of that meal, you would share in the rewards. Amazing is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to rewarding His servants, then He gives and gives and gives. And when it comes to punishing, He gives a chance and a chance and a chance. That is why His door is always open for tawbah. Let us make it a point to always check our intentions. Before an act, am I doing the act to please Allah? During an act, am I still doing the act to please Allah? And after the completion of an act, was my act in totality in conformity to the decree and to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let us not be like the child. You know, in today's time, children are very smart. When they stand to read salah, then they start as if no one is looking at them, and it's up, down, and it's almost finished the rakat, and almost finished, and almost completed of the salah. But The mother stands on the side, or the student, the teacher stands on the side. Now what happens? Even the Surah Fatiha is sounding like the Imam of the Haram. Because the child now realizes that there is some authority that is standing alongside. So the child will take his or her time in that particular salah. On that note, let us not be from amongst those people that when we teach our children, train them in such a manner that if you are not there, my mother, my sister, my brother, my father, my teacher, then if they offer their salah or any other good deed, they mustn't look to see who's around them so that now they ought to do it in a good manner. They automatically must realize that my Allah is watching me. So even if mom is not there, dad is not there to reward me for doing a good deed, my Allah is there and He is looking at me and He will be pleased with me if I do it in a beautiful way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. In today's world, we are so caught up that we tend to go with the norms and dictates of the time, that sometimes without realizing that we do certain actions, but it's done not for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning not for His sake. Let me give an example. So a person gets sick and he goes to the doctor, he gets the medication, he gets the treatment. What does the person say afterwards? The person says, you know, the doctor I went to, so and so, he's brilliant, he's good, he's excellent. Perhaps you should go anytime you feel sick, go visit the doctor and you will be cured. What are we doing in that instance? We are actually saying indirectly that the doctor is the curer, whereas we know ourselves that the doctor is the means and cure comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It might be something small in our eyes, something very trivial, but remember, an atom's weight that is done for another being will never be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'd like to end off on one or two more things, that we know that 16th June is regarded as Youth Day and is connected to the youth and the struggles for apartheid and regarding South Africa and freedom. How about this for an example, connecting it to our topic of intention? We read the verses and we read the surah, Surah Al-Kahf, every Friday, protecting ourselves that if we are to live in the time of Dajjal. So in Surah Al-Kahf, they were the youngsters. Again, it's connected to Youth Day, and we're also going to tie it up with our topic of intention. Their living was in such a time, such an era where people were worshipping idols and all the things impermissible. And it was total chaos, and nobody knew about the deen and worried about the faith and connecting themselves to someone who's greater than everyone else, and that's the Creator Himself. And there were these youngsters who thought to themselves that, listen, hang on for a moment. We are living in a time where we're not supposed to be worshipping this particular, so to say, person that's in front of us. There's someone greater than this. So the intention was so pure and noble that they took themselves out of that area, that land, and moved away into a little cave to seek protection, to seek shelter from the tyranny that was happening at that particular time. And it was the system, it was the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the individuals or the youngsters were made to stay for a long period of time. But to them, they felt as if they just stopped for a few hours. When they had woken up after some time, which they had thought, they felt a bit hungry, they needed some snacks, so to say, and they sent one of the youngsters to the marketplace. He goes with a little bit of the money that they had, and he meets the merchant that's there at the bazaar, and he says to him, look, we require certain foods. He's also vigilant that nobody should see him, that these were the same youngsters that took refuge, thinking that they were still living in that era. The man looks at the money and says, hang on, you've brought a currency that's not accepted in today's time. This was used many, many years ago. So where are you people from, and what do you do, and what's all this with this money that you people have? And it was a very strange thing that happened, and so now everybody of the town began to come to realize that these were youngsters, and the whole story was mentioned. They lived in the king's time. This was the king, and this was happening. Now they are living in a time where, so to say, people were free to practice the deen. And when it was brought to the notice of the king at that time, he actually said that these people are, so to say, the celebrities, the personalities that people should look at for motivation and for aspiration. And they were now put on a high pedestal to say that these are the real gems of society. So my message in that is that my beloved youngsters, beloved mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, whichever field you intend to go into, or whichever field you are in, whether it's the sports field which are permissible to do, whether it is the secular field or the Islamic field, do your actions in such a manner that it is done for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will achieve closeness, you will achieve the blessings of Allah, you will achieve success in this world as well as success in the year after. We should be very clear on our intentions, that we do actions solely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we would find ourselves by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by our actions attracting the mercy of Allah. Because ultimately, to enter into paradise, you got to get the mercy of Allah. To get the mercy of Allah, you got to do those actions which are pleasing to Allah. And the actions that are pleasing to Allah are those actions that are done for His pleasure. If the actions is corrupted by something else, like we know, for instance, a building. If a building from the beginning, right from the onset, there's a bit of cracks here, cracks that side, on the walls this side and that side, or the bricks are not of good quality, or the cement is not of good quality, then you can get the best of people to develop the best of structures, but what would happen eventually, that building will collapse. Similarly, if our actions are done, and we think we are doing the most amount of actions in our day-to-day activities, be it the day or be it the night, but if a little bit of it is crept in by our intentions being done for somebody else, then all the actions, we will lose out of it, and at the end of the day, we'll only have ourselves to blame if we are doing actions for name and for fame. So at the end of it, we'd like to say that let us do those actions, or let us do all the actions that we aspire, we try our best to do, but it should be done for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby we attract the mercy of Allah, and ultimately we can enter into the gardens of paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, forgive us, protect us, honor us, and may He make us from amongst those who ourselves are inspired to do good and be a means of inspiration to all. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Ameen, ameen, jazakallahu khair. That was Mulana Yusuf Pandor, originally from Indonesia, but now currently teaching in Lanbro Park. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. And inshallah, do tune in again next week. And Mulana will inshallah share with us some pertinent information, advices. That was Mulana Yusuf Pandor.